Thanks a lot for that, Mary, by the way. From Amon Jordan, this is The Fetch, and welcome to Inside the iLive Prime Time. Today's date is Thursday, August the 16th, 2018, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets. May all be well with you and yours. Weather here in Amman is just remains really pretty moderate considering we are in the dog days of summer now. Daytime high today was only about 87 degrees, which was tempered by winds of around 11 miles per hour coming out of the west-northwest. And by nightfall, the temperature had already fallen to 80 degrees. And if you were lucky enough to be sitting where the breeze could roll through the house or somewhere outside, all you could say is that the weather here in Amman got downright pleasant. It was just such a nice day today. We are currently sitting at around 69 degrees, where the local time is shortly after 1 o'clock in the morning, and we are heading down to a low of 64 degrees in the hour before sunrise. Tomorrow we're pretty much expecting a little bit more of just the same, so it's going to be a really nice day again tomorrow. Interesting story coming out of China, and it kind of highlights the difference between a central government that must respond to its people as opposed to those central governments that give a lot of lip service to its citizens, or worse, works hand in hand with corporate interests to prey on the people. And it has to deal with vaccines. And a lot of you know that the vaccine industry here in America, not here, I'm in Jordan, of course, you guys know that. But anyways, being American, I still think of myself as being in America. But anyways, in China, the Standing Committee of the Political Bureau of the Communist Party of China and their Central Committee yesterday held a meeting to hear reports on the investigation of the defective vaccine case involving a company called Changsheng Life Sciences Limited. Apparently, this was a rabies vaccine. The meeting was actually presided over by Xi Jinping, who is kind of like the Donald Trump of China. He is the general secretary of the CPC Central Committee, and they're attaching a lot of attention to this, and he stressed that those involved in this case should be held accountable and punished severely according to the law. Now, efforts should be made, they said, to ensure safety and safeguard the public interest and social stability, according to this particular meeting. And basically what you have here is you had a vaccine company in China produced some very nasty vaccines, killed some people, and harmed a lot of others, and the people got pretty well outraged about it. And as you can see, it made it all the way up to the Chinese Central Committee, basically having like a Donald Trump, Xi Jinping, actually presiding over the meetings here. And already they have sacked a couple people here. One is called Wu Zhen. He is the former deputy director for the China Food and Drug Administration. And he is under investigation also by the CPC Central Commission for Discipline Inspection and the National Supervisory Commission for Suspected Disciplinary and Law Violations. Now, when you look at this, you know, it's all just names to us, stories to us. But when you look at what's going on in America, everybody, with the vaccine industry, and imagine in America, you know, America has probably one of the most, it has one of the worst, infant mortality rate in the industrial world. And I've heard a lot of BS from the Jewish community talking about how we Jews are so brilliant and you, Goy, won't be able to last a couple breaths if we Jews weren't so brilliant in the medical industry. And I like to just remind our Jewish friends out there that then if you guys are so freaking good, how come and why is it that we have such a high level of child mortality? Why is it that we lose 300,000 people to mistakes in the medical industry in America? So there's a lot of problems in America, but our governments are doing nothing about it. In fact, they seem to be working hand in hand. And when you think about vaccines in America and the fact that we launched, think about this, everybody, the American people, Donald Trump, the mass media, they engaged in a campaign to launch a missile attack comprising, 109 missiles, something like that, based on a bunch of pictures coming out of Syria for a chemical weapons attack on, and of course they want to roll out the children as the victims and say, oh, poor children, look at all these poor kids. And yeah, should they, and actually if they were part of these attacks, and a lot of these have been proven to be basically false flags and nothing even happened, it's a terrible thing. No one's going to argue that. In fact, it'd be silly to argue wise. None of us wants to see children get hurt in this respect anywhere, quite frankly. But for us to launch a missile attack due to a chemical weapons attack on children, no doubt. And here we've got, in our own countries, vaccine manufacturers protected by the law, mounting massive amounts of chemical warfare on children in America. And nothing is being done about it. Literally. I mean, if you take a statement like this, Assad choked out the lives of innocent men, women, and children, and change that to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, choked out the lives of innocent men, women, and children. You're talking about the same thing, folks. And one of the reasons I bring this story up so quickly is because if you've been covering or following Inside the Eye Live, and, of course, don't forget, you can join us in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on that live chat button. You can also go to, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Oh, forget that. You can do the telephones. 1-323-275-1314 is going to be also in play today. And we're also broadcasting live on YouTube, simulcasting live on YouTube again today, so you can join us in the live stream on YouTube. And if you've been following this show, you know that we've been covering a lot about the media. We've been covering the Alex Jones story, and he's been in the news all week this week, if you follow anything at all in the alternative media out there. And he was on talking about China, 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 and China this, China that. And what few people seem to grasp here is that China, they want to call China the enemy, China the enemy. But you know what? When you have in China, and again, we must reiterate here, no government out there tolerates much criticism in certain fields. If you're going to go into Saudi Arabia, for instance, you're not going to talk bad about the royal family. That's just not a smart thing to do, and it's going to be even worse if you talk bad about Islam. That's just the way it is. That's how it works, folks. In America, you can't talk about Jews too much. You know, if you rise up into any level of power or influence and you're starting to talk about Jews or the different things going on out there with the pedophile networks, etc., you're going to find yourself in a big soup of hot water and find yourself being banned pretty quickly. Same goes on in the UK everywhere. You can't even talk about history in Germany, for instance, without risking going to jail. So I don't want to hear too much about how, oh, this country, you can't talk about that, and this country, you can't talk, and it's so bad. Folks, it's everywhere you go. You've got your limitations of what the peeps, the plebes as us, can talk about. That's just reality. Certainly the freest nation out there when it comes to speech probably is still the United States. That would be my guess. But at the same time, folks, if you are out there trying to expose the vaccine industry and you find certain things, you may find the police or some federal agency coming in, knocking down your door, stealing all your equipment, and charging you with some bogus crime. This is reality. When you look at vaccines and the amount of kids and harm that the chemical warfare being done by the medical industry on our children in America, you're going to understand then that, hey, I don't need an Alex Jones to talk to me about how bad this place is or that place is. Let's focus on the key issues here right now. And when it comes to censorship and all that, I'm not worried about the Chinese. I'm worried about the Jewish community. I'm worried about how we are able to get our message out. Now, when we look at vaccines, for instance, folks, these are chemical weapons being used on our people. I don't see Donald Trump holding a special forum about what to do to some of these rogue vaccine peddlers, chemical weapons peddlers in America like I do in China. I mean, can you imagine in China? I guarantee you, based on what we've seen coming out of China now, you're going to find some of these vaccine guys that did something pretty nasty to children and others, they're going to pay an ultimate price here. And when you have the vaccine makers in America doing what they're doing to kids, all of these people, so many sad stories coming out in America nowadays that a set of twins died 24 hours after receiving six vaccines. Two twins died here. A pair of twins died. This children died after 46 hours. This children, it's all down to SIDS. Folks, we got a huge problem in America, a huge problem. And it goes up and down the scale from who knows. You can talk about the directed energy weapons that seems to be making the play now out there in the forest and fires out there in the West. And there's some interesting pictures, quite frankly, that have come out. They deserve to be aired. The views, I don't care. I'm not here to shut down views. I'm here to listen to views and listen to opinions because let's be honest, we're not going to get the truth out of our media. And the media, even if they wanted to, doesn't have enough manpower to cover everything. There is a need for a lot of citizen journalists. And quite frankly, I have a lot more respect and trust in the citizen journalists in America than I do the mainstream Jewish-controlled media. It's that simple. It's very simple. But, you know, I'm looking at what's going on out there and Alex Jones talking about the Chinese this. Man, I would love to see Donald Trump get his butt off of his pro-Israel stance and start to hold a fire to some of the vaccine companies. Take away all their legal protections. And because what we have here is a Holocaust, literally a mass murder, mass chemical warfare upon the American people through the use of vaccines. I mean, can you imagine they're injecting mercury still into children? What are you doing injecting mercury into children? What are you doing injecting all of these, come on, like the blood of liver from monkeys of some African tribe? Give me a freaking break, man. You guys, these guys are idiots. I mean, literally, they're ghouls. These people are evil people. When you know you're conducting chemical warfare on children for the express purpose of creating perhaps either death, meaning you're trying to genocide people, or long-term dependencies of additional drugs down the road. Man, that is just absolutely insanely sick and evil. And that's America's vaccine industry, folks, and they're very powerful. Just look on television. Every time you go watch a television show, some pharmaceutical company is going to be, what do you call that? Some pharmaceutical company is going to be advertising on the television station. So that tells you just how much clout they really do have. So anyways, right now you've got this chemical warfare, but I don't see, again, any action being done. But the Chinese are the bad guys. Man, I would love to see America start dealing with the Jewish media like the Chinese do. Seriously, folks. I would love to see the American people do to our bankers what the Chinese do. See, as a traveled person, when you have some banker committing some fraud that harms the public interest, they just shoot the guy. They put him into jail, and they do the court trial, and then they shoot him. If he's guilty of fraud, and it has harmed 1,000 families, 200 families, and imagine the massive theft that the Jewish population in America has pulled off against America. And then the American people, and how many people have lost their homes due to this fraud by the Jewish banking elites in America. And if you want to call them the whites too, or whatever you want to say, but we know it's a lot of Jewish people out there. So folks, China, you can call them their enemy. You can do what you want if you want to follow the Alex Joneses of the world. But folks, seriously, very seriously, consider the fact that we should do what the Chinese do in the same particular situations. Joining us from the 704 area code, and I hope you're getting through. Hi, it's I think it's Frank, but hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Frank in North Carolina.
Didn't show.
You know, I mean, come on. I mean, Alex Jones has got to think that his listeners, his fans, are the biggest bunch of idiots. I mean, is there any other explanation?
Well, you know what? No, not in some of these cases, because some of what he's been going off with is really absurd, and I've got a little bit more on him today. You know, some of the stuff he says is spot on, and that's what keeps him relevant, you know, to a lot of the listeners out there, Frank. But yeah, when you get into the core stories here, You just got to wonder where this guy's coming from. In fact, we got some comments from some listeners saying, hey, we think Alex Jones is in on this deal, and he is really behind his website getting shut down. It was an inside job just to go promote all his other clickbait websites. So, yeah.
I'm seriously considering that as well, because he even sounds like he doesn't even believe what he's saying.
That's exactly what others.
And I'm an expert on Alex Jones. I don't listen to him much anymore, but I used to. I used to follow him religiously almost, and I know what his voice sounds like. I know him probably better than he knows himself, but he sounds like he's reading from a script.
Agreed. In fact, I think that was very obvious last week when he talked about the Chinese stuff. He was not even convincing himself. This was very poorly done. He's a very talented guy. You cannot knock somebody who's done what he's done. He's a talented guy, but you can see he just didn't have his heart into what he was even doing last week. He didn't convince himself, let alone us.
Right. Well, it was a great broadcast. Saturday, I really enjoyed that second hour guest. That guy was really good.
You know, Jack is good. I mean, he's, you know, people call him a shill. I know his personal life. You know, I know just where he's at. And I think people are being unfair to the guy. You know, they see him as a colored guy because he's not pure white. But he takes on this white agenda type of thing. He is understanding about the anti-Semitism and why Jews are there and how it works. But they don't want to give him credit. And what can I do? You know what I mean? What can I do? But I think he's, I got some personal insights on him. I think he's a good guy.
Okay. Well, I didn't even know that he wasn't white.
No, he's not, actually. He's mixed color.
Yeah, technically. He sounded white, and I mean, I was tracking with every every word that he said.
Raised around the Bronx, man. Raised around, I think, Jersey.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Fetch.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Good morning. Good afternoon, man. That's Frank, everybody. Frank is probably one of the most prolific. He sent me an email, and I'm kind of proud of this. He's one of the most prolific callers in the talk show business, quite frankly. He's just a prolific caller. And the fact that the most prolific caller in the world, not the world, but one of the most prolific callers in this media segment calls my show is kind of cool. I think that's kind of cool, everybody. That's a great credit to the show and to Frank and to the show, actually, to have somebody like that calling. A lot of people try to play him down, but hey, that's the way it goes. You know, going back to this thing about American children and stuff, just the vaccines real quick. The point here is that we need a government in America that's responsive. That's the point I really want to make. When you have one major vaccine incident in China that caused harm, it's already at the presidential level, okay, literally like the Donald Trump level. They've already booted out the FDA equivalent in that region. They have gone out and taken out the CEOs and the people behind the corporations in that part that were responsible. See, the Chinese don't mess around. And I've noticed even in Saudi Arabia, you know, the people talk to me and they say, Fetch, yeah, we can't talk certain things. You Americans can talk more than we can, but we feel closer to our government now than we ever have. And what they're saying to me is that, you know, when they talk to their government, the government responds. The government is them, the people. And here in the American public, it's like the government doesn't seem to care about the American people in many respects. It sees itself in many cases as above the American people. They don't respond to the American people. You know, something like 90% plus of the people don't trust now. May not be that high, but I know it's probably in the 80% factor. They don't trust the media in America anymore. But there's no action by the government. Over 50% of the American public does not buy the official story of 9/11, yet there's no real investigations. We know for a fact all of the frauds, like insurance fraud by Silverstein. I think it's Silverstein, that owned the World Trade Center at the time. And he takes out the insurance, and it's like 2 months before he insures it for terrorism attacks. And because it's two buildings, he gets two payouts for $4.7 billion. One of the largest, obvious for us, insurance frauds in the world. All these Israelis that were secreted out of the country that were there to record the event. Excuse me? You're there to record the event? You're driving around in moving vans with the World Trade Center on the side, with planes going into the World Trade Center. How did you know about that? And they're just secreted out by the traitors inside of our government. So the issues aren't with China. We should learn from these people, folks. We should demand of our politicians and demand of our bureaucrats the same level of tenacity of protecting the people's interests as we find over in these other countries. How is it that we are supposed to be, as Americans, this great country, yet we got a bureaucratic class that is completely inept or worse, corrupt, and can't do a thing to help everybody? How is it that way? How did we get into this situation that we basically have a country run by, excuse my French, idiots? Literally, we are run in America by a bunch of idiots, and it has gotten more and more absurd as every day goes by. All right, everybody, just real quickly, again, the chat room, Inside the Eye Live. I got to pull something up here while I do all of this stuff. But Inside the Eye Live, you can click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door. And let me just pull this thing here. How do I get to you? How do I get to you? I don't even know where you're at. I got all these windows open again, folks, because we were just, it was weird. You know, I was like, started work on the show early today. And I'm like, none of these stories make, I don't know, I don't know, I just wasn't motivated by any of these stories for the most part. You know, an interesting story is that Genoa, I think is it Genoa? Something like that out of Italy? You had that big bridge that fell down, and oh my goodness, man, what a complete disaster that was. Literally, I mean, here you've got this massive bridge going over a section of the city, and it falls down and basically you've got everybody is pointing fingers at everybody. It's like, no, he said that, no, that was it, this is the prison. Nobody's really taking responsibility, but I liked the way Salvini, the prime minister, has come through. I like this guy, and I'm going to just support him anyways, because what he's saying is look, the European Union, for the most part, approves our budget. They tell us what we can spend. Yeah, there's a little bit of discretion, but they tell us that we can only spend 3% of our budget. So the European Union, we have to submit our budget to the European Union, and if they don't approve it, well, we're not going to be able to spend any money. So why should you look at us? You should go to the European Union. They're the ones holding everybody back because they don't allow any investment. And the Europeans are saying, the EU saying, oh, no. We're giving you $8.3 billion to do this, but you did it in March. March. Now, obviously, the Italian government did not do the necessary oversight. Let's be clear here. The Italian government did not do its job. But this is the brand new government. Now, that doesn't mean that it should not have done it, but see, if you go into Italy, like something like 3,000 some odd miles, something like that, are managed by the private sector. This is privatization, everybody. So this particular bridge was under a private contract. That contractor was actually, get this, hello, responsible. That's right, responsible for maintenance because they're managing it. You're taking all the fees, you're supposed to pay for the maintenance equally, and they didn't do it, period. Now, the Italian government, for their part, that particular part of the government didn't do its job in having the proper oversight. The company kept saying, nope, we certify the bridge as being safe. And the Italian government said, okay, well, you've given us the certification. We will approve it based on that certification. But there's never any physical inspection of that bridge. So again, a huge problem. Something like 39 people have died so far. They're saying the number actually probably will go up again, but they're not sure. Italy is currently working on its 2019 budget, and that must again be presented to the European Commission by mid-October. So from financial markets have grown concerned that Italy is now going to seek to break clear of EU spending limits. So get that, folks. The markets are worried that Italy's going to maybe has to spend more on its own infrastructure. Italy's public debt is right around 132% of GDP, and it's already the highest in the Eurozone after Greece's. So there you have it. There was not a lot that people could do Actually, I can't say that. Who knows? But I'll tell you what. Pretty amazing pictures if you have followed any of that story coming out of Italy. Sad event, though. I'll tell you what. Sad event. There was actually a footballer, a soccer player, who went down with the bridge. And he was interviewed on one of the television stations in Italy. And can you imagine the car went down. He was in the car. It was caught. It didn't get crushed or anything. He was actually able to get out. And he is he retired. He became a fireman inside of Italy. And so he got out and he basically was able to crawl and climb his way to where firemen were there to basically collect them in and get them to a safer area. But what a story, huh? I can't imagine being on a bridge, quite frankly, and just having it collapse on you. I remember living in Los Angeles. We had like the Northridge earthquake. And I think this was 1994 or something like that, because I remember my son was still a baby. And I had him in my bed. He was staying with me that night. The wife by then had already gone back to mom. So I had Mr. D, in my bed asleep. And he was only like a year and a half, 2 years at that stage. He's still a young guy. And I remember the house would go back. It was going back and forth. And in California, if you know how a lot of these earthquakes are, if they're going side to side, you don't worry, the house is going to bend it so much. And I'll tell you what, yeah, we're going into a break, everybody. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live. Yeah, Intelligent Media for the Politically. We're back with more after this. Good afternoon to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good, really late evening, early morning now to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. Local time here is about 1:30. In the morning. So again, good morning to you, and then good afternoon, everybody in America, that is. Let me get this phone out of the way, folks. It's in my way there. Let's see here. Wanted to go here. Just trying to click through a few things here. Just want to say this is listener-sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running, and without your generous assistance, we don't have a platform in a world where really, platforms are the key nowadays. It's very, very critical that we have your support. And without it, once again, it's difficult, folks. We need your support. So if you can, work your way over to revolution.radio and find the support button. And there's many different ways that you can actually support the network and find a way you can. One of those direct cash, I've got, I think, a $5 $10 worth just this past weekend. Hey, it's small. It's not gonna go to the, you know what I mean? But it all helps, guys. Everything, every month we have ongoing recurring expenses to run these shows. We have some. The network has some. So, folks, it's very, very, very critical, again, that we are able to, again, have a platform from which to continue to operate. And again, platforms are the key. So without your support, folks, there is no Inside the Eye Live. You can trust on that. Again, want to just mention, we are live streaming. And I know that it's Thursday afternoon. A lot of people are working, stuff like that. So, you know, for those who are there, hello. And thanks for joining me there. But I see you there. So again, we are live streaming right now on YouTube. You can go to Inside the Eye Live's YouTube account, and that will get you in the door. The stream looks good. It's running along fine, all that kind of cool stuff, so it looks good. So that's a great thing. And then what else do we want to say? Nothing about that. The ITEL Cat Report. We can talk about the ITEL Cat Report. It's proudly sponsored by friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. That's right, friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. And again, that is our IT coordinator and our web design coder in the background. I'll tell you what, ever since we picked this guy up and he volunteered in some of his services and we paid him some equally, our website has shot up something like 2 million. That's right, 2 million places in the Alexa ratings. That's a huge jump, everybody. We are now actually finally, we broke the million mark. I was mired down 2.1. So I am very, very happy that all the optimizations and work that we have done to make the website much more effective is really starting to pay off. And we're hoping, we see the traffic is now very steady. It's continuous now. We've actually seen a drop after we moved the domain Some of that traffic is starting to come back now. We've still seen a lot of our traffic drop on the listens ever since that disaster we had at the end of June, but that's starting to come back. Folks, we like what we do here. We think we've got a great product. We need your support. We're happy to get that support. And if you would, can help our archiver, which is grism.blogspot.com. They're the official archiver of Inside the Eye Live. Again, buy Zap a cup of coffee. Very simple. $3, $4, $5. Heck, buy him a cup of coffee. That he'll take that out and he'll use it somehow to good use, and that's a great thing. So again, support grism.blogspot.com. Night Owl Cat Report's just kind of cool. We've been having a lot of fun with our new kitten. Again, his name is Spiker. Spiker comes in the door, and we let him in the house, but Bruiser is just Bruiser. He's the blind cat, and he just doesn't like Spiker one bit. So as soon as we bring him in, it's always fun to watch Bruiser's nose go up in the air, sniff around. He can smell. And it reminds me of Jack and the Beanstalk, if you remember that old children's fairy tale story, Jack and the Beanstalk. It wasn't a nursery rhyme, but a fairy tale, or whatever you want to call it. Fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman every time Jack would climb up into the clouds to get to where the giant dwelled. Well, Bruiser's kind of like that. The second you bring Spikers in the door, he's like sniffing all over the house and tries to track him down. It's like, you remind me of Jack and the Beanstalk, man. Fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of another kitten. And he kind of goes crazy, but Bruiser's been around and having a lot of good time. He just like waits at the door in the cutest way, trying to stop this other kitten from coming in the house. It's kind of like a cat and mouse game with two cats. It's kind of cool. Another thing too is we've been giving Spiker some just one chicken foot to play with. And today I gave him a chicken foot and he put it in his mouth. It dropped into his water and he can't figure out how to get the darn thing out. He just can't do it. He's looking down. He's trying to like, he can't like dunk his head in the water to go grab the chicken foot out. And he's trying to like slap at the water to get the chicken foot out. I kind of was entertained for about 5 minutes today just watching this cat trying to get the chicken foot out of his darn water bowl. It's still there. I went and checked a little while ago. It's still there. I'll get it out in the morning. I'll take it out in the morning. But it's been a lot of fun, folks. Again, my time here, to be truthful, is coming to a close rapidly. And I'll be out of here sooner rather than later. So I'm enjoying really the time with the cats. Bruiser's been such a sweetheart lately. Everywhere I go, he wants to sit on my lap. He's become such a great lap cat. And I'm just enjoying everything, folks. But I'm going to miss it very, very shortly as we head out and finish our vacation, head back into Saudi to really get back to work. I really do have a lot of work to get done. And I've been a very, very lazy guy over the summer, folks. Aside from doing the show here, we haven't done a whole lot. So I really do need to get back to work, I guess. So, but thanks for all the support over the summer. Regardless, it's been kind of fun. But we're going to get back to work. So we're going to have a big party, I think, Saturday or tomorrow. I'm going to have after the show here, I'm going to try to get to bed 3-4 in the morning. We'll have a big party here. So folks, it's going to be a nice little time tomorrow. It's going to be our last party here of the summer. And so we're going to have all kinds of dancing and drinking and all kinds of fun here, folks. It's going to be a great time. And the cats are going to disappear because they don't like the noise. One I know is going to run upstairs. He's going to just disappear and he'll be back about 10, 11 o'clock after everything dies down. That'll be the new cat report. I guarantee it. Something like that. Anyways, that's the ITIL cat report, everybody. Again, brought to you by friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. Again, for any of your web services, if you are in the movement in any way and you would like some very, very professional work on the coding behind the scenes, give me an email at thefetch@insidetheeyelive.com. I can assure you, for me, it's been nothing but great. Again, we've seen the results here. We've seen the traffic go down. It didn't go down. It went up. And then when we changed, it did drop when we changed to HTTPS only, you know, and we're only using HTTPS now, the secure HTTP, but that traffic again is starting to come back, and the Alexa rating has actually skyrocketed. Again, we've climbed a good 2 million since we brought friendsofgrism.blogspot.com friendsofgrism.blogspot.com on board. So, folks, again, we appreciate all the work that's being done behind the scenes by our guru. We call him the guru here, folks. So thanks so much for his efforts equally. All right, let's keep moving right along. And I think it's about that time of day for...
Oy vey! Oy gewalt! It's like another shower!
Oy vey!
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Sears.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
Oy vey!
The Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
That the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show is available again. Well, I'm not saying available, but it's got a new show every day of the year. That's right, a new show every day of the year, and you can catch the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show. Ooh, that's kind of hard to say. Every day at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, that's 3 o'clock p.m. In the U.K. on Eurofolk Radio, that's eurofolkradio.com. So definitely go out and give the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show a listen. Remember, all of his show archives are available for free at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. This week's Oy Vey Moment, we're going to come to you from the UK. And the reason why I think now is because the UK is in a very heated battle about, again, whining and kvetching Jews about anti-Semitism. It's beyond, if you're in the UK listening to me now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You see it, you're dealing with it, you follow it. And the latest event is coming from a Mr. Len McCluskey. And Len McCluskey is the General Secretary of Unite. And this group is the largest trade union in the United Kingdom. And to listen to Jewish groups talk out there, Jews are acting in a way right now, folks, in the UK, that says, we Jews run your country. We Jews tell you what you're going to do. We Jews demand that you do exactly as we say. It has become a type of bullying, totalitarian mindset. So they ran this headline today. Len McCluskey must immediately resign over his latest attack. Don't wait. His latest outrageous attack on the Jewish community. Now, here's the thing. Every time we deal with the Jewish community at large, we have some clown coming to us trying to misdirect the language. And what I mean by that, oh, you can't use the word Jew, you got to use Zionist. Oh, you can't do it that way because some Orthodox and some of this or some of that don't really believe the way that is. Well, here is a thing coming from the Jewish community, about the Jewish community. And they're not talking about segregating the Jewish community into this type of community or that type of community or over there. Folks, it's the Jewish community. Hello. Now, I expect, quite frankly, my listeners to understand precisely how I'm using the English language. I am expecting the Jewish community to misrepresent how I use the language because it's to their advantage to do so. I am anticipating and expecting educated people out there to grasp how Jews and why Jews are misrepresenting the use of the language and deal with it accordingly and learn how to shove the garbage from the Jewish community back down their throats from which it came. That's fair, because they want to shove their beliefs and their garbage down our throats. That, my friends, is politics. I don't care if a whining Jew demands this or demands that anymore. My attitude is you're a frickin' minority. You don't mean anything to us as far as the larger general public goes. Your opinions should not matter. And you exhibit way too much power and influence in our republics, whether it's the UK, Germany, or elsewhere, based on your demographic makeup within our countries. We're giving you too much credence, too much power to do whatever you want, and you're abusing it and abusing us in the process, and it's our country, not yours. You have Israel. You're a dual citizen by definition. Now, what it says here is, Mr. McCluskey, he wrote in the Huffington Post, that's a bastion of conservative think tanks over there, and he says, he claimed that by continuing to resist anti-Semitism in the Labour Party, British Jews and non-Jews who stand with us, such as Labour MP Chuka Umunna, risk polluting our politics to the detriment of those involved and to our wider national life, and are subordinating anti-Semitism to other agendas. Now, I don't know. The only other agenda I know of is Israel, Israel, Israel. You know, we kind of deal with that in America, too. We understand how it works. Whatever Jews tell us to do, in fact, I heard, somebody from, turn that thing down there. Somebody is going to be visiting, I think, not Pence, but maybe the Secretary of State. Might be going. I heard somebody's going to be going over to Israel soon. But nonetheless, folks, here's the thing about what's going on in the UK right now. If you follow what's going on, you know that en masse, Jewish organizations are really going after Jeremy Corbyn. And the interesting thing we learned from Jack Sen this past weekend is Jeremy Corbyn is no friend of white nationalists. He's no friend of British people. He's a leftist. He's a radical leftist in some respects. But the thing about him is he hates Israel. He understands that Israel is a parasitic pariah upon, really, the face of the planet. Now, when we watch what's going on, we say, Mr. McCluskey, too, he says, again, understand Jewish language here. He accused newspapers, Jewish newspapers, of a thoroughly irresponsible act of fear-mongering for calling labor under Mr. Corbyn an existential threat. Well, that would be to British Jewry, of course. And then he even declared that Jewish figures were trolling Mr. Corbyn. Now, the Jewish group is acting like none of this is true. It's like, how stupid really are Jews? Seriously, if you follow it, it's very clear that Mr. McCluskey is basically stating the facts. Just stating the facts. Folks, the Jewish newspapers out there did call Corbyn an existential threat to Jewish people. How stupid was that? But that's what's going on out there. They've made this anti-Semitic thing into such a huge deal. It's like that's all that exists in the UK anymore. I have never in my life seen such a coordinated campaign of idiocy masquerading as something important than I've seen about this anti-Semitism to charge against Jeremy Corbyn. As we learned this weekend, the Tories, 80% of the Tories in the UK are members of Friends of Israel of some form or another. 80%. How do you tell me that's not an occupied government? How can you even look at it this way other than that? He called here Labor Party's refusal, what do you mean refusal, to adopt the international definition of anti-Semitism a misunderstanding and demanded that the Jewish community put this role behind us. Folks, it's not for Jews to tell us how we are going to define Jews. It's for us to define to Jews what we will say about you. It's not for you to sit there from your little lording little positions and dictate to the American people, the British people, what we can and can't say. But that's what you're doing now. That's the game right now. And that's it's not a fear. It's a reality, folks. Jews are creating a situation where their welcome is becoming very rapidly not welcome. That's not a great thing to say. But, hey, it's not welcome anymore. Mr. McCluskey, the Jewish people say here, goes on, has a track record. Oh, a track record. Oh, you Jews are so clever with your words. Of disgraceful interventions in the Labor Party's anti-Semitism crisis. Well, there is no crisis. It's a manufactured hoax BS from the Jewish community. Very simple. It's like this nonstop dog chasing its tail. And if you stand back, seriously, if you stand back and you watch how Jews are operating relative to this idea of anti-Semitism, hatred, hate speech, and all this other crap that they're throwing out there. I think I can use that word out there because we're also going out on the FM. We don't want to be in charge. We don't want to get the FCC angry with us. So we try to be very respectful equally. But he's, you know, in other words, if you really pay attention to Jewish people, folks, and especially those that are Israel firsters, what you're going to find is you just take a step back. Seriously, step back and watch them. Start with the charge of anti-Semitite, the hate speech, the spreading hate. Folks, stand back. You watch them. You're going to see a dog chasing its tail. Round and round and round these stupid idiots are going to go. And like if you just stand back and let them go round and round and round and round, just like, what a moron, then that's what you're going to end up with. A bunch of morons chasing their tails. If you're going to jump in and try to stop these dogs from chasing their tails, well, yeah, you might get bit. You might get roughed up a bit. Who knows? Because these are violent dogs. They're not like nice dogs. They're pretty nasty dogs. Step back. These guys are idiots. Just step back. Seriously, take a step back and try to grasp for a second exactly what's going on out there. Because it's insane. Now, according to Jewish press out there, Jewish press, Gideon Falter, you've heard about that name. This guy's the chairman of the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. A big sounding name there. As we all know, these are basically a bunch of trolls. Based on their actions, based on what we saw from the court trial with Alison Chablot, these are a bunch of trolls. These are a bunch of basically bullies, internet bullies, and trolls, just as it was called there in this particular article. Now, again, he said, Len McCluskey must immediately resign. It is outrageous to attack the Jewish community for expressing our fears that Jeremy Corbyn is an anti-Semite. Well, first of all, why would the British people, seriously, why would the British people react to some punk thug about and his fears? Dude, who cares? We can't control what you have fear of, dude. We don't care. Just go back to your little hole in the ground and shut up for a while. Because you're just our fears. Well, it's not your business. It's not your business to tell the British people who they can and cannot have in their government. Why don't you just say, we Jews control your government, and if you don't like it, then we're going to make problems. Why don't you just come straight out and say that you Jews want to dominate the political process of the UK so thoroughly that nobody can serve in government unless you Jews say so? Why don't you just come out and tell the truth, because that's what you're telling everybody here. This isn't about some, oh, this guy's in it. No, this guy doesn't like Israel. That's the problem. And a lot of us don't like Israel. So we want someone that doesn't like Israel in power. You got a problem with that? That's your problem. But we don't want to hear you talking about to us about how everything is anti-Semitic. Go screw yourselves, with all due respect. Seriously, we don't need it. We're tired of it. We finished, again, ignore it. You know what? Just start putting things in your ears and say, these Jews are morons, and start dealing with reality. It's politics, folks. See, they don't want you to have a voice in politics. They think they're the chosenites. They're the ones that the global leaders of the world that's put the whole planet into such a mess that, oh, we're the beacons of light. And if we don't control everything, you're going to just collapse under your own weight because you can't survive without us Jews doing everything for you. No, we would be just fine. You know the great thing about National Socialist Germany? It showed that if you get rid of the Jewish influence in your countries have a very, very high chance of succeeding, at least within this Western mindset. That's what we've learned. Let's see here. Mr. Clown, what's his name? Gideon Falter. What a name. Falter. Yeah, everybody's at fault but him. He goes on to say here that Mr. McCluskey's utterly disgraceful. Can you imagine a grown man using the term utterly disgraceful? Do you realize how offensive and disgusting and insulting this language is? That somehow this guy, a punk, a thug, or whatever, is going to come up to you and say, it's utterly disgraceful. Well, excuse me, who are you again? I forgot. Oh, you're the mighty chosenite of some nondescript Jewish organization, right? Why is it that you, as a Jew, gets to make these statements about people? But anyways, these types of words, folks, continue to come out of the UK. The UK is basically in an existential battle because essentially what England is about to fall under is 100% domination by Israel. Israel will basically capture the United Kingdom in a very real way when it comes to the political process anyways. That's what's at stake here. This isn't an existential battle for the Jewish people inside of the UK as so many Jewish groups are pushing. What you have in the United Kingdom right now, as far as I can read, reading into it, literally is an existential battle for England itself. For the most part, it's been lost, and a lot of people understand that. Knife attacks, acid attacks, drive-by shootings. London has become, under Sadiq Khan and his Muslim Brotherhood leadership or whatever he's aligned with, it's become a basket case. Literally a basket case. But if Corbyn falls, there will be no leadership left inside of England that would oppose Israel at all. Israel will have captured the UK, bottom line. It's the Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. Actually, it's Inside the Eye, prime time. Back with more right after this. For the politically aware right here on Revolution Radio, revolution.radio. Good Thursday afternoon, everybody, inside the Ally prime time. It's August the 16th now. Wow, August 16th. You ever notice that the 16? Never mind. The 9 and the 16 always in the center, and that's pi, but never mind for now. It's okay. Interesting week this week. You know, a lot of places getting shut down. You know, Alex Jones was in the news again. His website purportedly was under a DDoS attack and support us and all this stuff. And, you know, we were looking at some of the facts. This guy had some, like, embedded videos within an hour, complete with links and everything. He's got all this different overlays going on. He's using WordPress and a bunch of other stuff going. Fairly sophisticated system that he has, and yet he had everything ready to go within an hour of his website purportedly being attacked and assaulted out there. We had a great comment from one of our listeners. Let me see if I can find it. Actually, you can read it also on the comment section for the show last week, but he said, great program. And for a number of reasons, I would argue that AJ is in on this 100%. And I agree, and Frank agrees, and a lot of us agree here. There does seem to be some type of move going on as our listener in Arizona, on a corner in Winslow, Arizona, as he says, is talking about But back to AJ again, as he says here, his reaction to being under attack by the Chi-Coms appears feigned, artificial, and stilted as he foams the runway for his paymasters. Just yesterday, for even more contrived drama, the InfoWars website, a professionally built and managed WordPress content management system with a Cloudflare overlay, went down within less than an hour. There was an HTML index page with an embedded video and links directing visitors to their other clickbait sites. It's a total put-up job. Taken offline was more like it, an inside job. And I kind of agree with that. You know, when I looked at how Alex has been reacting a little bit, it looks like something is not right with everything over there for sure. Now, that doesn't mean to say he's not under attack equally. Again, there are lots of different nuances and layers to this agenda to take a conservative, nationalist, pro-white, pro-European voices offline. There is no doubt about that, everybody. Today, I woke up and jumped onto Twitter. I noticed 23 followers out of my list were gone. And I only have like 1,023 at the time. A month back in the first Twitter purge, I lost something like 115 or 20 or so. Over 10% of my followers were taken out for whatever reason. Now, I checked the health of my Twitter base. For the most part, they are all legitimate accounts. I don't have at 1,000 people, you follow me because you know who I am type of thing. And so I'm not getting a lot of bogus accounts and bots following for sure. So a lot of people seemed either just maybe they weren't purged from Twitter, but maybe they were purged from my follower base. You know, you have to consider that. Now, a lot of people today complained about people being purged, losing followers, 20, 30, 40, 50 people, 200 people in some case. The largest purge I saw was 234 people were missing from somebody's follower base again on Twitter. And a lot of this silencing and when you are shadow banned out there, and what shadow banned means is tech companies arbitrarily are limiting your reach. And it's in many ways to me, it's fraudulent. We expect to be treated like everybody else on a platform. We should be given terms of service that allow us to compete. We have now people are starting to take a lot of interest in the anti-white mentality out there. So many people that have what's called blue check mark are virulently anti-Western, anti-white. Thousands upon thousands of comments that could only be construed, if we're going to take the Jewish definition out here, as quote-unquote hate speech. It's gotten out of hand, basically. And yet, we can't even respond. And if we do respond, our responses are being limited to a very, very, very narrow band of people. So we're never able to reach out beyond our very narrow box that Twitter and other social media companies have placed us into. It's creating a situation that it's unfair. I mean, literally, it's unfair. I saw Jones talking once, statements back in 2015. He said, "I'm so tired of this Jew hatred stuff. If I go into the black community, I find that everybody hates on the Jews. And if it's the white nationalists, they're blaming everything on the Jews, and they're going to blame everything on the Jews because they say some Jews support me. I'm just tired of all this Jew stuff." Well, Mr. Jones, for us, it's the main issue because that's who's behind this. It's not the Chinese, you moron, who is creating the hate index or all these hate algorithms that limit basically those of us who want to talk about our nation. It's not the Chinese. It's Jewish people, dude. Plain and simple. Everybody gets it who gets it, including Mr. Jones. I'm sure he gets it. Now, here's another thing, though. And here I'm going to actually speak on behalf of Jones and others because we want to talk about the issue called fake news. And if you looked out today, you saw two things going on in the alternative media because it's all Jones all the time. Nobody hears about the Fetch, but they know about Alex Jones. So what we saw today was every major Jewish media outlet running stories about how Alex Jones's flagship radio station goes dark amid some type of probe by the FCC or something like that. Now, it's not quite as simple as that. It may sound that simple, but it is not nearly as simple as it appears. Let me just check this quick. I think it might be this one. And so it's not as simple as that, folks, because what's happening is that the media is lying through their teeth. The media itself is a dishonest, disreputable set of companies. I mean, as an institution, the media is fake. It really is fake. And I got to make some corrections on this, and I'll do that after this clip here. But the media is fake, folks. They will go out of their way, and they will spread false rumors, innuendo about people. At the same time, they're blocking a whole bunch of people. So today, the flunk, let's call them the newbies or the zombies, those who follow the mainstream media. If you are just part of that little echo chamber, all you heard today, if you followed alternative media, was Alex Jones's radio station goes dark amid FCC battle. And then it says the agency attracted criticism and praise for removing the right-wing commercial or commentator from the airwaves. That's according to Pai in a testimony this morning before the Senate. But, dude, Pai, you know, when you look at this whole story, Pai went on to say it is important to make clear that our pirate radio enforcement efforts, including this one, have nothing to do with the content of pirate radio stations air, Pai said. We act against pirate radio station because they are violating the law by broadcasting on the FM airwaves without a license. Well, okay, that all sounds well and good, but you know what? It doesn't stand up to little logic here, and I think I've got the right clip pulled up here. Let me try to get this pulled for you. And this, yeah, this is Alex Jones responding to this, and that's why it's dangerous to unilaterally just shut people down, because the last thing we want, folks, is information from the Jewish media only, because they are going to lie to us. They are our enemy. For sure. Let's see if this will run. It should run, but I don't see how it's running. Sometimes, guys, you just don't want to cooperate with me. Let's see here. Let me try to get this clip to run real quick, everybody, because it's actually a pretty good clip. And let's see. It's not running. Okay, there we go. And I don't see it running. That's too bad. It's not running. Okay, well, basically, we'll have to just paraphrase this. Basically, what Alex Jones is saying is, look, I got nothing to do with this. This isn't my radio station. I don't have radio stations. I'm a service provider. I provide content. I do my thing. I zap it up to the up to satellite and radio stations around the nation are able to pick it up. I'm on 50,000 watt stations. He is. Basically, he was, I think, on KFI in LA back when I was in LA, back then, to 15 years ago, 10 years ago. The guy's big. He's a service provider. He doesn't own these stations. This station was owned by two Jewish guys. And how does Alex even know? He says, look, I don't know these people. Maybe I met them. I don't recall. He says, heck, I didn't even know there were any pirate stations even running. He said, and if you go read these stories, they're saying that the station stopped broadcasting back in December. And now it's running religious programming. It's like, this has nothing to do with me. So the media is now selling this whole idea about how here's one guy, Alex Jones, he's a bad guy, he's violating the law, he's doing all this FCC stuff that's against the law, but he and I trust him on this one. this isn't so hard to figure out. It's not him. I mean, the paperwork went out to two Jewish guys from some Jewish an apartment that they own. Had nothing to do with Alex Jones. Very simple. But why did the media go out and tell us that it's all about his flag? What do you think? He's so big, he's going to run a little tiny couple watt radio station that reaches maybe a mile out, and that's his flagship? A guy that reaches 20 million people a week, and that's his flagship? Again, the Jewish media, and they ran this through virtually every single newspaper, and even on their airwave, the electronic media, the television stations, as if it's real. It's not. It's fake. It's a hoax story. It's just complete fraud. It's fabricated to create an illusion about how somebody's doing something wrong. And that's wrong equally. That's even more wrong. I don't care if Jones wants to talk about the Chinese. Wait, we get that. Yeah, we know it's not the Chinese. It's Jews that are the problem. At least we can get that. But to create a deliberate illusion by framing words in a way that makes it look like somebody was doing something, this is simply wrong, folks. And then the FCC says, well, we received a complaint. Well, according to some stories out there, dude, you guys knew about this for years and years and years. You gave these Jewish guys the penalty years ago. So why are you now talking about it today after all this stuff around Jones? See, here's the thing about the media. They hold on to stories until they're ready to spring them on you. Remember Donald Trump during the elections where he grabbed her by the you-know-what? Well, guess what? They knew about that story all along. See, Jews, they're so dishonest here, folks. They hold on to stories until they think they can use it to blackmail you or destroy your credibility at some point of a coordinated effort. This is simply unethical, and it's beyond disgusting behavior. Folks, the Jewish media is an enemy of the American people. Plain and simple, there's absolutely no other way to talk about this one. No other way. Now, another story that came out, and now I'm kind of fearful because I'm not sure it's going to work. But let's see here if I can get this to work. I think... maybe no, but let me try to get this thing to work. I'll tell you what, if that's the way you guys are doing this, okay, I get what you're doing. I'm playing with the software, everybody. Sometimes I got to learn. But another story that came out is Brennan. And Brennan, John Brennan, director, CIA, former CIA director John Brennan, this guy seems like a loose cannon beyond belief. And today... Donald Trump finally, under Paul Ryan's recommendation, by the way, took away Brennan's security clearance. He was the former CIA director. And I think this is now going to work. Let's see if this will work. Push
neither
this slide.
Neither of these justifications supports Mr. Brennan's continued access to classified information. First, at this point in my administration, any benefits that senior officials might glean from consultations with Mr. Brennan are now outweighed. Second, that conduct and behavior has tested and far exceeded the limits of any professional courtesy that may have been due to him. Mr. Brennan has a history that calls into question his objectivity and credibility. In 2014, for example, he denied to Congress that CIA officials under his supervision had improperly accessed the computer files of congressional staffers. He told the Council of Foreign Relations that the CIA would never do such a thing. The CIA's Inspector General, however, contradicted Mr. Brennan directly, concluding unequivocally that agency officials had indeed improperly accessed congressional staffers' files. More recently, Mr. Brennan told Congress that the intelligence community did not make use of the so-called Steele dossier in an assessment regarding the 2016 election. An assertion contradicted by at least two other senior officials in the intelligence community and all of the facts. Additionally, Mr. Brennan has recently leveraged his status as a former high-ranking official with access to highly sensitive information to make a series of unfounded and outrageous allegations, wild outbursts on the internet and television about this administration. Mr. Brennan's lying and recent conduct characterized by increasingly frenzied commentary is wholly inconsistent with access to the nation's most closely held secrets and facilities, the very aim of our adversaries, which is to sow division and chaos. More broadly, the issue of Mr. Brennan's security clearance raises larger questions about the practice of former officials maintaining access to our nation's most sensitive secrets long after their time in government has ended. Such access is particularly inappropriate when former officials have transitioned into highly partisan positions and seek to use real or perceived access to sensitive information to validate their political attacks. Any access granted to our nation's secrets should be in furtherance of national, not personal interest. For this reason, I've also begun to review the more general question of the access to classified information by government officials. As part of this review, I'm evaluating action with respect to the following individuals. James Clapper, James Comey, Michael Hayden, Sally Yates, Susan Rice, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and Bruce Orr. Security clearances for those who still have them may be revoked, and those who have already lost their security clearance may not be able to have it reinstated. It is for the foregoing reasons that I've exercised my constitutional authority to deny Mr. Brennan access to classified information, and I will direct appropriate staff of the National Security Council to make the necessary arrangements with the appropriate agencies to implement this determination. With that, I'll take your question.
All right. Now, that, folks, is very good news. Here's a guy that clearly is a loose cannon. He is anti-American. He's a known communist. He was actually part of the Communist Party of America. How you can put a communist as head of the CIA in the United States is beyond me. The guy is certainly somebody that we should not trust. You know, the way it works out there is you take an official like a Brennan, and he gets this security clearance, and then he goes out and he gets into the private world. Now, whether he had a security clearance, I'm sure he did at the time. But in 2005, he had left government. He had been on the National Counterterrorism Center, the director of the National Counterterrorism Center. Folks, the National Counterterrorism Center, these are the most inept people out there. Look, this moron who wants to sit there and try to make a big case about how Trump is just trying to hide everything and he's afraid of me. Dude, you were on the National Counterterrorism Center and you can't find one freaking Jew who was behind 9/11? Not one? See, to us Americans, we have looked at these, I don't even know what, I got to come up with a good term for these people. But they're the most inept, clueless morons going. Folks, if you do not have the ability to take out enemies of the American people, like the Israelis, then we have a serious problem. Because that means that the Israelis control the American government. Very simple. They've been doing this con since the USS Liberty. They've been able to get away with this stuff. And where are the geniuses like Brennan with all of his awesome security clearances? He can't achieve crap. Think about it, guys. Think about the ineptitude of our security. Are they inept or are they criminal? Now, obviously, we know they're not that inept to get into that position. So they must be what? Criminal. There must be something about their character that precludes them from being able to do their job for the American people. We can go back to the Chinese story. Trust me, somebody is going to get a bullet in their head for what happened in China because there were deaths involved. Now you can say, oh, this is harsh, but you know what? It keeps people honest. With all due respect, if you think you have a right to go murder a bunch of kids for profit because you made money, I'm sorry. I'm not even a fan or believe in capital punishment, folks. But you know what? I don't have a problem if governments want to rein in this level of corruption and use that method. I don't have a problem with it. I'm sorry. I'm a clean guy. I try to be straight as much as possible. I'm not here to make problems for myself or anybody else. But I am here to advocate for what's right. And I trust that people out there understand that we are advocating for what is right. Now imagine, Brennan, he spends 25 years inside the United States government. He serves in the Near East and Southeast Asian as an analyst. He's a station chief in Saudi Arabia. And he's the director of the National Counterterrorism Center, which is essentially a useless organization. It hasn't done crap, hasn't done anything for us since 9/11. And then we look at this, and then he goes on to be the CEO of the Analysis Corporation. You got a security clearance, and now you're going to go on to a CEO where you can now use privileged information from the United States government so you can go run your business. How is that fair? Folks, every time you have worked for a particular company out there and you left that company, seriously, you left the company, did the company leave its doors open to you and say, hey, come on, take all the information you can from us? Did that ever happen? I guarantee you it's never happened in the private sector. Folks, the minute you are terminated from that company, your access to email is cut. Your badges are broken. You're not going to get through the door if you are in that type of a secure facility or campus. It's not going to happen, folks. You're not. So why are we allowing these enemies of the American people like Brennan to continue to have access to state material? It's long past due that people like Brennan lose their security clearances. They don't need it. They're out of the job. This idea that, oh, to consult, what are you going to consult with? You haven't solved anything, dude. You just took a lot of money but did nothing for us, the American people. And seriously, the way Brennan's been going off, it's been ludicrous, quite frankly. Some of the stuff that Brennan's been saying, for instance, he's saying that Brennan's calling it unfounded and outrageous allegation. Well, no, that's not true. Trump, that's what Trump is saying. Here's Brennan. The only questions that remain are whether the collusion that took place, that's, of course, between Trump and the Russians, everybody, constituted criminally liable conspiracy, whether obstruction of justice occurred to cover up any collusion or conspiracy, and how many members of Trump Incorporated attempted to defraud the government by laundering and concealing the movement of money into their pockets. Brennan, you were head of the CIA. Do you understand how stupid you sound right now? You're making still allegations years after the fact now. And you were head of the CIA. You're the freaking head, you moron. And you're still giving us, Joe Public, allegations. You can't say a simple thing at all about what's reality here. Now, Brennan goes on to say, Mr. Trump has become more desperate. I don't think that Trump would actually get desperate, quite frankly, but that's what he said. Said he's been more desperate to protect himself and those close to him. Back with more, folks. We're going into a break. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live, intelligent media for the politically aware. For the politically aware, right here on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. That's right. It's The Fetch, man. Join us in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. You can click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door there. Also, if you'd like, we've got a half hour left. We're still streaming live on YouTube at Inside the Eye Live. So go to YouTube and then find Inside the Eye Live and log in. Just want to say, like last week, we had a great show with Jack Sen, a former UKIP party member, and again, I'm going to say that, look, he's not nearly as paid as some of you might think. I know some of his personal situation, what's going on. It's not like he's a paid guy. I think he makes a lot of great points. Personally, I liked the points he made last Saturday. But also we had David Gaharie, who's the author of Erasing Liberty. and a fascinating little hour there about just what really happened on the USS Liberty. We received a reasonable amount of emails regarding that show, so we really appreciate that, basically indicating how much you like the show. And we like that type of feedback because it helps us know what you guys like, and we kind of try to respond in that regard. But the interesting thing about last week's show is it was actually banned on YouTube. Not banned, but blocked, the actual show itself. And the Jack Sen segment was actually blocked. And here's the thing that's very unfair about the Jewish people as a aggregate group. You know, imagine if you listened to that show last week, there was absolutely nothing really about it that warranted it being blocked or hidden behind a firewall on YouTube. But I got a message saying that, you know, recruiting, you know, some, you know, videos that are borderline recruiting terrorists and complete with hate speech and things of this nature may be banned. And you know, it's like the community guidelines. It's like, you know what? What community? At that stage, it had like 34 views. 34 views for Jackson's video. Mine had like, the full show had like 135 views itself. Now, I'm not a big YouTube guy. What community exactly was complaining, folks? I didn't reach enough people to have enough people to even complain. So here's what's going on out there. Very organized, dedicated, if you want to call it that, trolls in the Jewish community track down, stalk people they don't like a Jack Sen, and they will do whatever they can to keep them silenced in a very unfair type of way. So all you get are these complaints that, oh, the community has flagged this as being inappropriate. It's like, well, who's the community? Who are these people? Because that's like saying the United States government. Who was it? It's still people at the end of the day. See, we're living in a world of anonymity where cowards in the Jewish community, and it's the Jewish community, folks. And again, unless you want to tell me and prove to me it's not the Jewish community, I'm going to go with my gut. It's the Jewish. Who? Come on. You guys are such cowards in the Jewish community that you're going to go out there and you're going to troll and stalk and flag people that you don't like because you don't like them so that their interests are harmed. See, we don't act that way. We're civilized. We're not low-level, untermunchen sleaze like the Jewish community. Bottom line, we don't behave that way. We don't, hey, let's all get together, and let's all flag this one and so they can get banned. I mean, can you imagine what has to go on inside the Jewish community to even do this type of behavior? What classless clowns they really must be? What low-life losers we must be dealing with here? I mean, what really goes on in the Jewish minds? What goes on in their heads? Hey, Shlomo and Yaakov, let's get together today and let's track down what Jackson's saying and then let's flag everything and let's send it to you. Oh, goody. Hey, yeah, let's do that. We can't let these hate speeches ever get out there on the internet. What's going on with these people's heads? Think about it, folks. We are dealing with a low-level, idiotic child mentality that is using language to dominate and control everything. At what point do we say, you know what? You're being violent to us equally. Think about that, folks, because they keep going on and on. Now, Wednesday, yesterday, Brennan tweeted out, he says, Trump's move should gravely worry all Americans. Mr. Brennan, I'm getting trolled by a bunch of freaking Jews because they don't like somebody. And I'm not even being able to get out for 1 second. I'm shadow banned on Twitter. I have a lot of great things to say. And you're supposed to make, I'm supposed to be worried about what Trump's doing? No, I'm worried about what the Jewish community is doing to us. I don't care about your problems, Mr. Brennan. I think you're a sleazebag, too. You didn't do anything while you were head of the CIA. You couldn't do one thing about the Israeli government. In fact, you probably covered for them. So for me, you're a failure, dude. I don't even know why we're paying you. We should drop your pension, dude. Seriously. You're just a dangerous clown, basically. He says here, it's a part of a broader effort by Mr. Trump to suppress freedom of speech and punish critics. Are you kidding me? Did you just say that as a former head of the CIA? Did you really say that Trump is out there trying to suppress freedom of speech and to punish critics? And here I am, and a bunch of Jews are saying, let's get together and let's suppress Dennis and Jackson because we don't like what he says. And you're talking about Trump? Are you okay, Mr. Brennan? Are all of you people out there that want to go after Trump, are you okay? Do you understand that they are not our problem? Trump is not our problem. Our problem is what deals with us personally. And what deals with us personally is the Jewish community. They're the ones that create, you're a Holocaust denier. You can't have a job. Well, how is that not suppressing freedom of speech and punishing critics? Think about it, folks. Brennan says, I will not relent. Well, guess what, Mr. Brennan? We're not going to relent either. So now we're in a conundrum, aren't we? You don't have your security clearance anymore, but you got the leftist Jewish media to push you along all the way, give you a massive platform so you can basically say a lot of stupid things to us Americans. Seriously. Don't talk to us Americans about how Trump is trying to suppress free speech when I'm shadow banned. I'm shadow banned by Twitter. I'm not allowed to, I got a tiny little narrow box that I'm allowed to talk to. You got YouTube blocking everybody left and right. You just had a massive thing about an Alex Jones to show the war on the alternative media, whether you agree with Alex or not. It is something that we don't agree with. We're not here to block people. Now, Brennan wants to talk about Trump? Dude. You're the CIA director, and you don't know the problems going on with Jewish groups in our own country? Really, are you that stupid, Mr. Brennan? Man, I will not relent. Oh, you're so brave. Why don't you go deal with all these Jewish people out there? Dude, let me show you how you relent then. He goes on, this action is part of a broader effort. Again, we covered that line already. He says, breaking. President, this is NBC News. President Trump is revoking former CIA director and high-profile Trump critic John Brennan's security clearance, White House says. Others go on to talk about how there's no proof, even no proof granted or no proof offered. No, actually, if you listen to the press report, the press briefing there, NBC and everybody else, actually, there was a couple examples given why this classless clown should get his security clearance revoked. CIA director, a nice cartoon goes out there. We are spying on Trump to protect him. See, yeah, that's the whole thing. All we hear from the leftist clowns in the media is they got to do all this to protect us. First of all, sticks and stones may break my bones, folks, but names will never hurt me. I don't know if you, I guess in the new millennial troll world, they never grew up with that type of thing. They never grew up with the fact that, hey, some things just don't apply to you, so just shut up and move along. But you can't talk to a lot of millennials that way. You hurt my feelings. Yeah, well, I've had my hurt feelings, but that's part of being an adult, dude. And dudette, grow up. Brennan, he ran off, of course, to his safe space. It was MSNBC. And raged hard. He says, I do believe that Mr. Trump decided to take this action, as he's done with others, to try to intimidate and suppress any criticism of him or his administration. Again, if I have to, let me repeat that for you. I do believe that Mr. Trump decided to take this action, as he's done with others, to try to intimidate and suppress any criticism of him or his administration. Mr. Brennan, they jail people in Germany for doubting the Holocaust. They extradite people from Canada for doubting the Holocaust. And you're going to talk about Trump? Dude, are you okay? Do you have even an ounce of brain left to grasp how stupid you look to a lot of us out there that have to deal with the day-to-day issues of just trying to speak in our country? Do you get the fact that if we dare raise a voice against any type of Jewish influence, we are screamed at by being called anti-Semitic? And that's supposed to grant, or worse, a Nazi. And then if we're granted or the word Nazi is imposed over us, that means that a bunch of lunatic loons, I don't know if I can say that, from the Antifa crowd, hey, it's okay for them to just start shooting you, bashing you with a bat, throwing bricks through your head. Mr. Brennan, your problems are not Trump. Your problems should have been dealing with the problems that are creating the problems in America. Now, as a CIA director, what did you do? What did you do to rein in Jewish infiltration of our government? Anything? Or did you sit there like a nice little docile little doggy, getting patted on the head by some Jew behind the scenes because you're doing, oh, such a great job. And after you come out, we're going to give you a role as a advisor on some big television station. We're going to make you famous, Mr. Brennan. And then when you got behind the television cameras, you just made a complete jack, you know what, out of yourself. And here you are complaining on and on and on about Trump. Really, I think I got a few more. He says, I do believe that Mr. Trump decided to take this action, as he's done with others, again, to suppress. It's his way of trying to get back at me. Well, yeah, we've had Jews do that to us all the time, Mr. Brennan. But I don't hear the CIA trying to protect people. Never have I heard the CIA come out and say this is wrong. About stripping his clearance, Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky praised the move, saying that he urged Trump to do it. So it's not Trump, Mr. Brennan. But you're the big CIA guy. You should know everything. It was Mr. Paul. Paul is the one advising Trump to do it. Why haven't you raised Paul up in this issue? Paul, Rand Paul, says, I applaud President Trump for his revoking of John Brennan's security clearance. Paul said in a press release, I urged the president to do this. So, Mr. Brennan, you got a security clearance, and you don't know it's even Rand Paul behind the scenes? That's the one advising? What do we need you to have a security clearance for? Think about it. Your network sucks, dude. You're nothing but a troll inside of a CIA suit. But you ain't... What are you? It's so frustrating following these guys. Now, Brennan, for his part, people have a very serious and honest question here. Is he monetizing, and was he monetizing or making money off of his security clearance? People are asking, did John Brennan actually make millions of dollars divulging secrets to the media itself? I mean, we have to ask these a serious question. How much information did he leak to the media to get him into the position? Because we know Jews don't give anything away for free. So, folks, you know, the amount of people out there that are opposed to our free speech, that are opposed to our ability to get our message out. And then we hear the whining and kvetching from the Jewish community. Then you got people like Brennan, who wants to continue to cause dissension. Folks, this is a former CIA director. Think about that for a second. A former CIA director. And he has been on the warpath attacking a current administration, the president himself, and he's a CIA director. Imagine how audacious these people who are not in the public eye. Remember this about power. The real power never seeks publicity. They pull the strings from far behind the scenes. I knew a tribe, and I forget the tribal name, actually. And he was based in America, from Saudi Arabia. He was in a very senior level position. And I won't get further into that. But I went to him. And we took a trip out to the desert. and he told me about his tribe and who they are. They have family in Kuwait, Qatar, Saudi, Iraq, and even in Jordan. And for the most part, it is a very successful, famous tribe. He said, but Dennis, nobody, my grandfather told me, never ever get your name in the newspaper. Don't ever get your name in the newspaper. And the reason why is that those who have power, if they start to get their name in the newspaper, I'm not the real power, then people start to cast questions upon them. They start to cast light. Oh, who is this person? And then somebody might really take serious attention towards that person and really start to divulge things that, even if not illegal, may cause some consternation out there in the general public's eye. Folks, who's Brennan at the end of the day? What you have to remember about every single person inside of the United States government, when you break it down, they're all just employees. They are nothing but employees. Folks, I've been in real powerful situations in my life with very good, decent, powerful people. And I remember one time an American guy, not a nice guy, I didn't like him, put it that way, and if he's listening to the show, I'm not going to apologize to you. Made life miserable for a lot of us. And he was a advisor to a very senior level position inside of the military. Just leave it at that to make it obscure. And because he was this advisor, he was a bully. He liked to push people around. And I was brought in by another faction because this American was using English in a way that the Saudis were not able to really grasp. So they asked me, Dennis, look, we need your help because of 1, 2, 3, 4. And I understood their position. And I remember talking to this American one time in a private after meeting session. And I said, you know what, guy, just to keep the name off the record, I said, what you need to understand is that, first of all, this is not your country. But the most important thing for you to understand is that the person that you represent right now as their personal advisor is an employee of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. He is an employee. His right to be an employee of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, no matter what his position is, can be revoked at any time. And the day that his employee status is revoked is the day you become exposed. And that is the day that you better watch out for, because it will be coming sooner rather than later. And that's the point here about people in government all over the world. Folks, they're employees. They should be treated as employees. They should not be treated as gilded individuals. John Brennan is nothing but an employee. Listen. When I was a kid, 19, 20, 23, 25, I was hanging out with CEOs, major banks. And I remember going to a bank in L.A. And I sat up there and it was a beautiful, I mean, come on, you're talking 33, 34 floors up, all decorated in Western decor, official stuff from some various Indian tribes. And I was handling a particular transaction for one of the CEO's patrons, or perhaps this guy was a patron of the CEO. And I was like in awe. I was impressed. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. You got such a great offices. And he said, you know, son, he looked at me like he treated me like a kind of like a son, but as someone giving me some just solid advice. He said, I want you to remember one thing when you go out that door today. And I said, what's that? He said, you and I, we put our pants on the same way in the morning. And don't forget that. And I thought, wow, that's the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company. And here am I, just some up-and-coming kid coming out of high school. And not really high school, but kind of like that, out of college, really. And he's giving me advice that, hey, he's not any better than you or me. This is the mentality that is the old Americana, folks. Who is John Brennan at the end of the day but an employee? Who is Donald Trump but an employee? Who's the local police guy but an employee? Folks, we need to start treating our servants as employees. And they need to understand that if they don't act as employees, their right to be an employee should be terminated. And it should be very well clear sent out to them. Look, Jews have this attitude towards us. If you don't worship us, if you don't give us glaring commentary, if you say anything about us that we disagree with, we're going to call you an anti-Semite. We're going to call you a Nazi. We're going to troll you. We're going to try to destroy you. We're going to get your videos taken down. See, they go after us. They don't make any bones about this, folks. My point here is that, folks, these guys are employees. Somehow, within the system, they need to be made to understand they're employees. Understand how that works. They need to be made to understand their employees. Go back to China just now, when we started this show, 2 hours ago already. A vaccine maker in China screws up deliberately, poisons a bunch of people, kids. Some people die. In a country where you're allowed one child, having one dead child is a really big deal because you ain't going to get another one. There goes your lineage, just like that. And the people in China make it known to their public servants that they are public servants. And they demand of their government, in sometimes violent ways, that something be done. Here in the West, we are so complacent, so acquiescent to the fraud and the incompetence of our government. We should not be tolerating right now a chemical war going on against our children through vaccines, for instance. We should not be tolerating a defense department that is off just chasing any little opportunity they can because it's money in their pocket, folks. There's no grand scheme here. Look, the American empire is built, let's be honest, on the dollar and the ability to back it up with thermonuclear power. Those days are rapidly coming to a close, whether we like it or not. We need to transition. We need to get the incompetent idiocy out of our way so we can begin to function again as the bright people that we are. I'm not worried about competing on the global scene. But I am worried about competing when I got a bunch of Jews sitting there saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't say this, you can't say. Well, heck, why don't you just tie my hands behind my back and tell me to go play basketball against somebody? Yeah. I don't care if my hands are tied behind my back. I ain't going to make too many shots, am I? See, we're allowing this Jewish elite, like these Brennan folks, to behave in a manner that is way beyond their real calling here on this planet. Brennan's an employee, period. I don't care. You're not in the CIA anymore. Screw you. There goes your clearance. We don't need you. If we need you to have a security clearance, we will authorize it for that transaction. You get it, Mr. Brennan? Get the heck out. And here's your box, by the way. Oh, I'm sorry. You might want to put the one with your mistress underneath so your wife doesn't see it. Something like that. See, there's no reason why we should be treating these people with a professional courtesy. That ain't a professional courtesy. That is institutional idiocy to allow someone like Brennan to keep his security clearance. He's already a confessed communist. What more do you need? When we talk about change, and a lot of people say, Fetch, we need solutions. We need to change things. Well, there is no solution other than getting out there and working. You have two choices. You have revolution or evolution. Either way, you're going to have that evolution in there. It's better you do the evolution than the revolution. Now, a lot of people say America is lost. Perhaps. But you have a duty to yourself and your family to do something about it. And the only thing you can do is try to make it better. You need to start pushing back everybody. Is an employee. There was a story coming out of, I think, North Carolina or South Carolina, or no, Atlanta. Not Atlanta, but Georgia. And it was a police officer. And this is just this week, actually. And he went, somebody complained, you know, Americans, you need to grow up, man. America, you guys, I know you live in a multicultural world where Jews have created everything to where you don't trust anything. But you need to have some common sense. See, there's no common sense left in America. That's the problem. Common sense ain't so common, as they say. Well, there's an 80-year-old woman walking around in the garden, and some clown at a school sees an 80-year-old woman carrying a kitchen knife. Folks, a kitchen knife. 80 years old, from Syria, doesn't understand a word of English, and the police tase her, send her to the hospital, and they all say it's policy and procedure. Again, complete arrogant incompetence. It's the Fetch, everybody. Inside the ILI prime time. Thanks for listening. Good night. And see you guys Saturday inside the ILI, 10 o'clock a.m. See you then.